Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of mega. A comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he f*** but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I, y'all can do it, y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, put on your dancing shoes. Tom Antonellis, ballroom dance instructor from the Arthur Murray Studio, is here to see if Paula can shuffle ball change her career from telling jokes to teaching dance. Can she foxtrot her way to a brand new life? We'll find out. Plus, an update from Frontier Communication, or shall we say Frontier Miscommunication? Yeah, I said it! Dame Maggie Smith still sits in her car on Miranda Street, anxiously awaiting this update. Frontier Communication, Maggie Smith may miss the Downton Abbey premiere. Only you can save her. I'm Adam Felber, the man who tries to lead our conversational two-step around the ballroom floor without colliding into irrelevancy. And now, please welcome the woman who is always Lindy hopping us off topic, Paula Poundstone!
So much, so lovely to be here.
I'm glad that you're finally here. Before we get to that, yes. Welcome and thanks to tonight's house band, returning champion guitarist and whistleologist Haley Johnson. And Haley's band, The Little Miss, has a residency at Harvard and Stone in Hollywood, California for the month of December. They're playing every Tuesday with the exception of Christmas Eve at 9 p.m.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
And Haley was here right on time tonight.
Well, I feel so lucky to have Haley. Haley apparently does not live Trump adjacent.
Yes, Donald Trump is in town tonight, the night of our recording.
Apparently he flew into the Santa Monica airport. I live in Santa Monica, but the Ray Horseman Studios are, you know, in at the time that we tape, it takes me about, usually, I don't know, hour and 45 maybe to
takes
get
me
here.
7 minutes on a bicycle.
Oh, man. But tonight, so I come.
I don't want to make your night worse, but it's just so easy that sometimes I challenge myself to leave 6 minutes.
Sure. I understand. I'd be reveling in that if I were you. All right. So tonight.
You'd be reveling too.
I would be reveling were I to have made it in 6 minutes on a bicycle. I made it in like close to 3 hours.
Really?
Because I got up to the 405, the famous 405.
Oh, I don't think you have to live near California to know about the 405.
The 405 is famous. Oh, yeah. I get up to the 405 North entrance, and it was just blocked by cop cars because Trump is in town. And then after that, just there were places where you'd go to turn someplace trying to find an alternate, and Trump would just be standing out of the road waving you out of the way.
No, that's not Trump.
No, it is the imperial presidency.
It's just that every traffic cop is built like Trump.
No, after he fucks up our car emission thing, that's the first thing it is, because you guys can't have less emissions than everybody else. And by the way, keep your asses sitting in traffic while I wave you all around. It was him. I saw him. on the side of the road.
I feel like you're seeing him because he's your nemesis at this point. But I'm here to make your night better. You know why?
Oh, boy. I love that.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I was here earlier than everybody else. So I was on Miranda Street. I went around the corner to the street adjacent to that little bodega that I go to sometimes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about you went to Roger Federer's place.
No, that's not. That place is called Federer, and it has nothing to do with
Roger
the tennis
Federer's.
No,
and it's
absolutely
a, what is it?
Not.
It's like an appliance storage
something like
place
that.
Or something that he has for himself
has
because you can't play tennis forever.
Right.
And Roger recognizes
and
that.
And he wants to fall back on appliance sales.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
And now that, you know, he didn't win the
recent
thing.
Can we get to
thing,
the news that I have for
yeah,
you, which is
sure.
really gladsome news, although it might, yeah. it's a little disturbing too.
Yeah.
I passed, when I was looking at the candy counter at, yeah. at this bodega here on
at
Miranda
Roger
Street.
Roger Federer's place
no,
over
no, no.
here
around
that has
the corner,
appliances.
Other side.
Oh, okay.
I was at the bodega.
All right.
Okay. And I saw a box of Butterfingers. And it looked dusty enough that I leaned forward and saw on the wrapper Nestle.
Wow.
Which means
so
that this
you
box
believe
of Butterfingers,
that these are the original Butterfingers.
Well, the new Butterfingers are not made by Nestle. And look at this right there on the wrapper. Nestle
wow.
Butterfingers. And
oh,
I got
thank
you,
you Adam.
Two archival.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I don't want
to
seem
know,
rude, but did
seem
you look at the
shape.
Date?
No, I didn't. I
yeah,
just
well,
brought them for you.
Let's just see. Yeah.
Best before the 70s.
Before June 2019.
Okay.
These will be delicious.
This will be fine.
Thank you so much. That's how I am with my medication.
But
I'm like,
there's
yeah,
a, there's
it'll
the
be
rest
fine.
Of a box there at the bodega, though, to be fair, those were the two that didn't feel like they were broken inside.
Oh, boy, that is nice.
Yeah, the others were broken inside.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much like you and me.
I'm not broken inside.
No, you're not.
I mostly feel good. I just, yeah. okay. All right, you know what? I was in such a flurry when I got in here that I didn't even notice right away. Is that an ostrich?
Yes, we have an ostrich tonight.
Is anybody going to talk to Anthony about this problem? Our engineer, Anthony Alfaro, keeps bringing animals. Where would he even get an ostrich from?
I don't know if he thinks he's impressing us or something, but we're not impressed.
And I don't think the thing is comfortable in here. It's trying to bury its head through the tile floor.
Yeah.
That doesn't...
Yeah, well, earlier it was pecking at our snacks, which is weird because I thought that they preferred grain, but this one seems to like chocolate and stuff.
Yeah.
Anthony, do you have anything to say about that? Because it's your ostrich. Why isn't it eating grains?
Where did you get it, Anthony?
That's a long story. They eat a number of things, primarily roots, leaves, seeds, but they'll also eat like insects, snakes, lizards, and rodents. I mean, they'll eat anything that's available.
It's a big animal to have in the studio, Anthony.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 8 feet tall, you know?
It's 8 feet tall?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, but that's normal
what
for
does
an
it
ostrich.
Weigh? Is it
320 pounds, something
that's
like that?
That's why they wow. don't fly.
Wow. Yeah, they're too heavy to take flight, but they are well adapted.
Jesus, don't say that in front of it.
No, that's just...
It's going to have no hope.
Yeah, that's why it's burying its head. I think it's crying.
It probably thought that at some point it would achieve liftoff.
Yeah.
But now Anthony says...
They're well adapted to living in the savannas of Central Africa. That's what they're built for.
Well, maybe leave them there next time, Anthony.
Can you see that means they're not good here on Miranda Street?
They're not adapted for studios on Miranda Street.
How fast? Because they just walk, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, they run also.
Yeah.
They're fast runners.
Very fast.
How fast do they go?
Anthony?
He
doesn't know.
I don't know that.
It hasn't escaped him yet. When it escapes, he'll let you know as he's tracking it down.
I'm going to tell you, and then you tell me.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. They go up to 43 miles per hour.
43?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us that, Anthony.
They go up to 43 miles per hour.
Thank you, Anthony Alfaro, our sound engineer. Now, Paula, we need to get right to something, because this is going to...
Did that thing just slam into the wall? I don't think it made it to 43 miles per hour, but that looked like 32 miles per hour.
In a small studio, it's not going
to
be able to do that.
I feel so bad for it. It's flightless.
Okay. Paul, we need to get right to the Frontier Communications thing, because stuff is happening.
Oh, my gosh. We've had movement.
A lot of movement.
Yeah, we were
so
at a
recap,
long jam
they
for
promoted
a
contest. You put down your smartphone for a week, use only a flip phone, and you could win $1,000 in various prizes. And you submitted a brilliant essay, which is what the contest was.
Well, you had to write an essay saying why you were the person that should even be given this opportunity.
Yeah, but you did. You submitted it, and then, as we'll see in a moment... It became a case of Frontier miscommunication.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I submitted what we here at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone felt was a winning essay.
Right.
And then what we heard back from Frontier Communications was that I could be an honorary winner.
Yes. They would send you a swag bag full of like 90 CDs and give you the honor of not using your smartphone for a week, but at the same time, you wanted the honor of also having
the $1,000 that they promised.
Exactly.
And then what happened was I was able to get in touch with Dame Maggie Smith.
This part's not true.
No, this is true.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
I was able to get in touch with Dame Maggie Smith, asking her to come do a segment on our show that we do occasionally called Outside the Actor's Studio.
We did it last week or where, 2 weeks ago.
Where a real actress or actor comes and coaches me on auditioning, which I'm not very good at.
Okay.
And so I was able to get in touch with Dame Maggie Smith, and I made an arrangement with her. She wouldn't take money for doing it, but I made an arrangement with her that if we gave $1,000 to her favorite charity, and I'm like, well, that's perfect.
So you spent our $1,000 before you got it from Frontier Communications.
Maggie Smith has been sitting in a car outside of here, outside of our studio.
For the sake of argument, let's say she has. But let's move on.
Yeah, she has been.
Yeah. So let's do a dramatic reading now from the series of emails between our producer, Tony Anita Hull, and Frontier Communications. Now, Tony's not here tonight, so you could play the role of Tony Anita Hull. I'll read Javier Mendoza, Vice President of Corporate Communications and External Affairs, and I'll read Karen Quach,
okay, so,
Frontier's Online Marketing Manager.
There has been a flurry of emails going back and forth from our representative, Tony Anita Hull.
And so we're going to just, it'll begin with one from Tony.
Okay, ready?
Written on July 10th, after you submitted your brilliant essay for the contest.
Okay, here we go. Hi, Javier. My name is Tony Hull, and I'm a producer on a podcast called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Is there a press release about the winner of the flip phone contest? Has Paula applied, and we did a segment on our show about it? We are interested in doing a follow-up segment. Thanks, Tony.
Well, Javier responded, hi, Tony. Thank you for contacting me. We had such an overwhelming response that we're probably going to identify several people to help us with the research. We will know within weeks the name of the winners. I will be in touch. Javier Mendoza, Vice President of Corporate Communications and External Affairs. And then radio silence for 10 days.
Tony wrote back on July 20th. Hello, Javier. I wanted to follow up on the contest as we hope to do a follow-up segment to Paula's application on the show that we tape on 7/23. Thanks, Tony.
And now, to his credit, Javier responded that day with, hi, Tony, let me check with our team. Maybe Paula can be an honorary challenger or we can discuss what you have in mind, Javier Mendoza.
Yeah, I was
Now, that's throwing down the gauntlet. Like, and so passive-aggressively telling you that you did not win.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe Paula can be an honorary challenger. Oh, yeah. Man.
So we complained on air a little bit. We're not sore losers, but we were in this
case.
No,
we are. We're sore. Okay. I am.
And so then Tony wrote Javier again.
Hi, Javier. Happy Monday. Sorry for being a total pest, but I think they would love for Paula to tackle the challenge with the survival kit and $1,000. Let me know if you have other ideas or if you have any updates. Again, we've been following on air. Thanks, Tony.
Now, I think that was perfectly reasonable, but on August 16th, a new name entered the conversation. Tony received this. Hi, Tony. I hope this email finds you well. My name is Karen. I'm over the FrontierBundles.com team that was in charge of the flip phone challenge. Javier has reached out and informed us that Paula Poundstone has been selected as an honorary flip phone challenge winner. Congrats. We would like to send over a winner swag bag for Paula. Looking forward to hearing from you. Best regards, Karen Quach, online marketing manager.
So Tony responded on August 19th, asking Karen Quach if she could share what's in the swag bag so we could talk about it on the show, and was there going to be a press release about the real winners?
To which Karen Quach replied, great! I will forward that on to my team. Inside our Boredom Buster swag bag, you'll receive an actual physical map, a pocket phone book, a notebook and pen, a couple of 90 CDs, and of course, the flip phone! We do need to build your bag, so I believe it will get sent within the next 2 weeks. I will keep you posted. Thanks, Karen Quach.
Meanwhile, I'm pissed because I still want my $1,000. And we talk about this on the show.
Yeah, we do. We talk about it a lot. And
yeah, they're trying to pawn off some 90s CDs and some sort of a swag bag that they have to build over time. It's going to take them weeks.
And they're avoiding the topic of the $1,000.
Right. They never even mention the money that I'm due.
Right. So finally, on September 13th, we got this from Javier. Tony, I heard the podcast. I haven't stopped laughing. Got a kick out of what you did with Karen's name and wish Paul had made fun of me in that way, too. To which I say, Javier, listen to a few more shows. Seriously, the smack was well-deserved, but I just want you and Paula to know that this is a miscommunication. We are excited that Paula is donating the $1,000 to charity.
What?
The swag bag and check are on their way today. The check is just a visual printout as we await direct deposit information and get that taken care of quickly.
It really was a miscommunication on our part. Hoping Paula is willing to forgive and maybe even show us a little love. We actually have not announced the winners yet, so maybe you may even have one of the winners do something for the show. We'd love to chat. If you can send me your cell number, I will call today, or please call me Javier Mendoza.
Yeah. Okay. Javier, I never said I was donating the money to...
This was a miscommunication from Frontier Communications
right
here.
Yeah, I said that Maggie Smith... I would donate the money to Maggie Smith's favorite charity.
But Smith's not coming on the show.
But Maggie Smith has been waiting to come on the show, and because of the delay...
She isn't and hasn't.
No, she finally... Did you see the space out near the mattress near Roger Federer's? She pulled away. Maggie Smith pulled away.
Right. So now the $1,000 is by all rights yours. You don't have to give it to any charity.
I never said I was giving it to a charity I liked. I said I was giving it to Maggie Smith by way of paying Maggie Smith.
Right.
But now she's not available because there's the premiere of Downton Abbey. You know, she's in Downton Abbey.
She sure is.
Yeah. And yeah, she would have been.
That's a real thing about
Maggie.
She
would have been here coaching me on auditioning. But Javier and Karen were a little late on the drop.
Yeah, but you know what? At that moment, it seemed like you weren't getting your $1,000, but something happened this afternoon.
I got to tell you something. Yeah. I hope no one close to them ever gets kidnapped, and then they have to pay the ransom because they don't do it quickly enough.
No, no.
And what are they going to say? What are they going to say?
If
the
one
criminal?
Of the little Mendozas or Quatches gets kidnapped, they're as good as dead.
Yeah, honestly.
And I hate to say that on air, but like, guys, anybody from the Frontier Communications family gets kidnapped. Yeah.
And what are they going to say? Are they going to say, well, this check isn't real. We're doing a direct deposit.
Hi.
If you can give us your information.
It's us again. We need a routing number, but we're putting together some CDs for you to listen to while you wait. And tell Toby mommy misses her.
We don't have the ransom money, but we are putting together.
There's a swag bag for you.
We've got a T-shirt for you and some CDs from the 90s.
And maybe a flip phone. We hear you people could really use what you call burners. Anyway, this is a late-breaking news from tonight. Read this one.
Hi, Tony. Again, I want to apologize for the lack of communication from the Frontier side. We were waiting for T-shirts to arrive.
Fuck the T-shirts, Karen!
Prior to sending you the swag bag. There were some T-shirt printing issues, but we'll get a swag bag shipped over today. Did Paula happen to record a podcast around her experience of only using a flip phone for the week? No, because I wasn't supposed to do that yet, Karen.
You didn't even send us the flip phone yet, Karen.
We would love to hear her experience before we deliver a check. Thanks, Karen. Well, there's a problem there, Karen, because the whole idea was that you write the essay. You win the contest.
Right.
You get the bag. The flip phone is in the bag. You got the $1,000. You got the T-shirts. You got the 90 CDs. You got the map, a pen, and a notebook. Then you go a week without using your smartphone.
But you know what? I think Karen got that because 30 minutes later, it was as though Karen had a dramatic change of heart because she wrote this. Go ahead. Read that next one. This happened this afternoon.
We're getting that check delivered ASAP. We just need you to fill out the forms attached. And the
forms, Karen! Forms! Don't you think Paula's been through enough? Sorry, go ahead.
And the $1,000 will be delivered via direct deposit. Thanks, Karen Quatch.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress, and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress, and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally, and everybody just piles on it, and it's comfy. And yet, when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium elite collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code. Adam, you know I have a house full of cats and a couple of big dogs. So I have this one cat who every night likes to stand in the hallway and yowl. And he has kind of a little bit like me because of allergies. I don't know why he has it, but his name is Theo, and he has a really grovelly voice. So it's hard to describe it. I can't do a good impression, but it's a little dusty, gravelly voice. Okay, so earlier I was laying on the living room floor because I'm exhausted, and I'm wearing a nylon fiberfill vest. As I'm laying on the floor, Theo shoves his head through one sleeve of the vest and crawls up and is now stuck inside in between my back and the vest and is yowling because he can't get out. And then finally his head comes out the other sleeve and he goes out. What's not to love? That's what I say. What is not to love?
Which brings me to this. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
Your pet is part of your family, you know that already, and you want the best for them no matter what. But vet bills can really add up. Go ahead, ask me. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. That's a lot of pets.
True.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Paula. That's ASPCA. We spell that ASPCA. Petinsurance.com/Paula. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code. Who do you think got to them in that time?
I think Karen and Javier had a sit down and realized that you had neither promised to send that money to charity, nor would it make sense for you to spend a week with a flip phone when they had not, in fact, sent you a flip phone.
No, you know what happened? We brought her brother from Italy into the room. And she said, I never even worked for Frontier Communications. Sure, we were in the olive oil business for a while, but I never worked for Frontier.
I've heard their names, maybe, but that's nothing.
Nothing like that. That's a miscommunication.
It is. But to put a little capper on this, Frontier Communications, we've exchanged some harsh words. Well, at least we gave you some harsh words over these last few weeks. But
yeah, I'm not sure that, yeah.
But all is forgiven once that money arrives.
Fuck, that thing just pecked me.
Yeah, well, your hand was near the Butterfinger.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm going to have to use that $1,000 to go to some sort of hand surgeon.
That looks bad. By the way,
now, are they supposed to? Would they eat flesh?
They're not flesh eaters, but they're omnivores.
No, it pecked me.
No,
right,
they don't eat flesh.
Right, they don't eat flesh.
They don't eat flesh.
Well,
snake flesh, lizard flesh.
Yeah,
Yeah,
lizard flesh? So this is not lizard flesh.
Well, it's not very fresh looking.
It is.
A little moisturizer wouldn't kill you, Pounce.
It's got a topical map feel to it. I've got some veins that are really
speaking of your
out.
Body parts. It's
yes.
How it always pains me to say this, but how are your nipples doing? Paula? Which is like,
you know,
passes for cocktail party conversation on this podcast already.
I gotta say, that reminds me of something. Now it's been probably about a month.
A couple months since
the first piercing.
One of your cats pierced your left nipple.
My cat, Clue, I picked her up and her hind claw, she protested a little bit, and her hind claw went through my left nipple. It was very painful.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks later, and by the way, that had never happened before in all the years that I've had cats. And then a few weeks later, my other cat, I can't even remember who it was. It might have been Severus.
You didn't say Severus like two weeks ago.
I can't remember
ago.
Who
Whatever.
It was. Okay. All right. But my right nipple, another cat pierced my right nipple, which reminds me of, and they're healing nicely. Thank you.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Because the left one took a long time to heal.
The left one has been dragging its foot.
Yeah.
My left
Which
nipple
don't
has
have.
Been dragging its foot.
Yeah.
Well, I got a, I was performing someplace the other night, and Benjamin Applegate's mother, Benjamin Applegate is a young boy. He was not at my show, but his mother was at my show, and she handed me this note from Benjamin Applegate, and Benjamin wants a soap because he's written a description. He wants a fresh bar of hotel soap because he's written a description of the show.
Well, he's extorting us, but then again, we just did that to Frontier Communications, so.
Yeah.
Are you going to read a letter?
I'm going to read
We're
what...
essentially an epistolatory podcast at this point.
Here it is. Okay. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone is the well-intentioned but haphazard quest to solve the deepest mysteries of our society. The titular host, Paula Poundstone, supplies hilarious answers, insights, and every non sequitur in between. Meanwhile, co-host, you're going to like this, Adam Felber, and the colorful crew of the Ray Horseman Studios desperately try to keep Paula on track. There are guests, taste tests, and a zoo's worth of stolen animals. What more could you possibly want in a podcast? Let's get to the word titular. When I first
you
saw
think, you
it.
You think the kid's taking a dig at you?
I thought it was referring to my nipple piercings.
No,
feline.
You're the title character here.
Then I looked up the word titular, and I'm even more insulted. Titular means having the title or name of an office without having or exercising the power or duties implied by it. Wait
I
a minute.
I love you, Benjamin Applegate.
I am not. Paula Poundstone is not a titular head.
Oh, look at this,
what
everybody.
What kind of language is that for a young boy?
It's
titular.
It's as though this podcast didn't have enough going on. We have got an appearance from everybody's
Mrs.
favorite unclothed hand puppet.
I am not unclothed, Adam Felber. I'm wearing a ruby sateen dress.
Yes, it's downright peckable.
Titular. What does that boy mean by titular? Benjamin, titular, no.
Mrs. Culpepper, it's good to have you here on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Mrs. Culpepper, two things. How's the captain?
Captain Culpepper is deceased, Adam Felber.
Oh, I'd forgotten.
He died of triotoxism.
Triotoxism, why? Everybody knows that. That's poisoning from cheese.
Poisoning from cheese, yes. That is correct.
Yes.
Other kinds of dairy products, but it was cheese. It was.
Was it a specific kind of cheese?
It was the Gouda that got him, Adam Felber.
Never get tired of that.
Captain Culpepper is deceased. which reminds me, Adam, I do have a word.
Oh, word of the week. Yes.
I do have the
God.
Word.
And that's all the time we have, and nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. I want to thank our guests for showing up.
You know what, Anthony? Can you please move this ostrich? It keeps pecking at me.
They are
not supposed to eat flesh. Here's the word.
Yes.
It's calumny.
Yes, I know that word.
It's a noun that means false and malicious statement or accusation intended to damage another's reputation or slander.
We have arguably done that to Frontier Communications all night.
I'll use it in a sentence.
Yes.
Captain Culpepper was once accused of being pusillanimous, which was a damnable calumny.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Culpepper.
Thank you. Yeah.
That is some Benjamin, great verbiage.
Benjamin Applegate referred to Paula Poundstone as the titular host, which was a damnable calumny.
I think Benjamin Applegate meant you're the title character.
I don't think that's not what the word means, Adam Felber. Well, that's not what the word means.
All right, Miss Culpepper, settle down.
Yeah. Or, you must be Miriam.
Miriam?
From the dictionary.
I'm not Miriam.
Yeah, Mrs. I believe Culpepper. You are. Miriam Felber.
Yes, my partner Webster and I, who was a sitcom character in the 80s. Anyway, Friedrich Nietzsche once said, "We should consider every day lost on which we have not danced at least once." And if this somber German philosopher believed in the power of dance, then why not Paula Poundstone? Will the Piper pay Paula to teach ballroom dancing? That's coming up when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. The Cat of the Week is Bodega from Culver City, California. Haley, thank you. Haley Johnson, everybody. Paula, apropos of nothing, how are you feeling this week about your, career as a comedian?
I do love being a comic.
You sparkle when you perform.
I have the greatest fans in the world. After the show in Bar Harbor, Maine, I met Henry Lucianovic.
Wow.
You remember him?
No.
He's like 10 years old. He's a nobody.
Oh, he's a nobody. Yeah. Why would I remember him, Paul?
You remember Henry Lucianovic?
I don't.
Sure you do. Anyways, it's the greatest job in the world. I have the greatest job in the world. The only thing that I hate and I really loathe it is the self-promotion.
You hate promoting your shows, and yet your shows are your lifeblood.
I just hate having to say, well, I'm going to be, on New Year's Eve, I'm appearing in San Francisco. I am, by the way, appearing. That wasn't just like made up.
Yeah, where in San Francisco?
At the Norse Theater in San Francisco on New Year's Eve. Tickets are available. I just don't like doing that.
Okay, yeah, of course not.
So sometimes I think to myself, is there anything else I could do for a living?
Well, Paula Poundstone, to answer that question, welcome to Career Corner. Yes, it's time for Career Corner, where we learn all about the wide world of jobs. Would you like to be a fireman? How about a train engineer? Maybe you'd like to make a living as a spot welder. What can you do with your life? Career Corner has the answer. This week, let's explore a career as a ballroom dance instructor. Ably done, Haley. And here to help Paula discover if she could cut it in the stressful, high-stakes world of ballroom dance instruction is Tom Antonellis, ballroom dance instructor at the Arthur Murray Dance Studio. Let's have a big Career Corner welcome for Tom.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tom Antonellis, welcome. Step up to the mic.
That. Thanks so much for being here. I'm jumping in to say that because I'm not the titular head of the show.
Wow, I am really not either. Stung. It's not the Tom Antonellis School of Dance. Arthur Murray was the titular head.
Let's get right to it. What are the most... Paula wants to become a dance instructor.
I applaud you.
To my knowledge, does not do ballroom dance.
No, I don't. I used to take swing dance lessons.
Oh, nice. We should swing.
I've taken tap dance
love it.
Lessons. Well, when I say
swing
I took
is a
lessons,
form of
it doesn't mean...
Swing is totally a form of ballroom. Absolutely.
The first swing dance teacher I went to kept insisting that he wanted to teach me just like, ballroom dancing. But you know what I'm talking about, the real sort of formal stuff. And I always wondered, because when I went to him, I specifically said, I want to learn swing dancing because I'd like to go to like one of the nights of swing dance somewhere.
That was the dance that got me interested in dancing too.
It's such a fun.
Love it.
It's high energy. The music is fun and upbeat. It's hard to be unhappy in a room with swing dance music.
100%.
Let's get to the big question.
So, what I'm wondering is, why did he say that to me? Was it because it's easier to teach the formal ballroom dancing, or is it because somehow it was going to be more money for him? What made him, or was that maybe his specialty or something? I have no idea.
It is possible that if he was in a school, he was encouraging you to learn more. To encourage you to take more lessons.
Yeah.
But it's also...
They're not above that.
No, I'm afraid not. we kind of have to do that in order to stay
open.
Yeah,
you got to keep... But she hadn't even taken a lesson yet.
I would certainly have... I would have taught you the swing. I would have introduced you to the swing. I would have gotten you swinging.
Yeah.
And then I would have probably let you know that Foxtrot was the dance that gave birth to swing. I would have explained that the timing is very similar, and to do the interrelated system, which is what we do, to show you that, you know, you learn this in swing, look how easily it can be applied to foxtrot. You learn this in swing, and nowadays bachata, which is very big in LA, it's a Latin dance. There are actually a number of cool moves from swing that directly translate to bachata. So we're big on the interrelated system.
Uh-huh.
And that could have been what he was encouraging you to do. He also might not have been that great at swing anymore.
Yeah. I have a bad suspicion that that was it. Let me ask you something. Can anyone be taught to dance?
Anyone can be taught to dance.
Really?
100,000%.
Wow.
Not once.
What about an ostrich? What could you do with this ostrich?
I don't know about an ostrich, but this emu is
fly.
Like...
It can't fly.
Yeah, no.
No.
You know what? Emus can lead. They're very bad at following.
I didn't realize.
I'm going to interject with a question here because we really have to get to this.
Yeah.
What does Paula need to know to become a dance instructor? What does she need to know to do your job? And please start with the basics, like learning how to dance.
Okay. She has to learn how to dance.
Wow. Boy, he really gets to the basics. Yeah.
And when I say dance, you got to be able to... Foxtrot, waltz, tango, rumba, cha-cha, swing, salsa, merengue, mambo, hustle, bolero, Viennese waltz, Argentine tango, country western two-step, country western three-step, country western shuffle, and the polka.
Wow.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's a lot of dances
and she's
to learn.
The history of these dances,
and she has
right?
to learn both parts, by the way, lead and follow.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to be able to teach gentlemen and ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lead and the follow.
The lead and the follow.
Yeah.
And you have to explain it for kinesthetic learners and oral learners and visual learners. Huh. So you have to have numerous ways to explain a thing.
Wow. I hadn't even thought about that, about all the different styles of learning.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You thought you would just tell people how to do it.
Yeah.
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 No, that's not how it works with teaching.
I would think that, you know, because those kinds of learning things like oral, you know, auditory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. I would think, because that's so academic, I would think that in dance there's like different categories, like clunky learners. you know,
I've taught a few people who have a challenge with coordination.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that might be me, sadly.
I'm a little coordinationally challenged, and I've learned many of those dances.
Which ones do you?
Of course.
Well, you know,
I'm married to a dancer choreographer instructor. So
yeah,
it's a beautiful
thing. Our wedding dance had like 9 different steps in it.
He's married to Bob Fosse.
I'm married to Bob Fosse. Yeah. I am married to the late Bob Fosse.
Yes.
The late straight Bob Fosse. I'm married to.
Yes.
Does Mrs. Culpepper know him?
Mrs. Culpepper has seen them together at any number of cotillions.
Thank you, Mrs. Culpepper.
There's nothing I enjoy more than watching Miriam dance with his partner, Bob Fosse.
Yes.
Very beautiful thing to see.
Thank you, Mrs. Culpepper.
What, Tom, is your favorite dance to teach, and what makes it your favorite dance?
Well, I have spent half my adult life teaching, and that is a very common question. And I have, you know, swing was the dance that got me interested in dancing, but at this point, I absolutely love being able to have somebody learn and see that spark in their eye that they're learning. So my favorite really is the one that I'm doing right now.
Which is?
Whichever one you're doing right now.
Oh. Wow, yeah. Boy.
That's a boy, diplomatic
that is a,
answer.
That is a, yeah, that's a politic answer.
Are you hoping not to offend Mrs. Merengue and her late husband?
Mrs. Merengue does a beautiful dance. Beautiful dance.
A lot of people do think that, you know, there might be a dance that's easier than another. And, you know, I rattled off that list, but not really. I would not say, when you're a good teacher and you are clear and you know how to convey information in such a way that when you're done, the student has it and owns it.
Yeah.
You can really teach any dance.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But some dances are harder to learn, for sure.
This is the perception, but I don't ascribe to that.
I mean, just physically. I mean, I find that like, and now I'm reaching way back into my, but I remember the merengue, which I brought up a moment ago, being harder for me to learn because I had to wrench my hips around like I was trying to stop on ice skates.
I would have encouraged you not to wrench.
I didn't have to wrench.
I would have had you march, and I would have shown you that the merengue is a really wonderful entree dance into all the Latin dances, and I could have you merengueing in 3 minutes.
Oh, I was able to do it, but I found it uncomfortable. to do it right.
Yeah, because you were wrenching.
Yes.
I shouldn't have wrenched.
You're not supposed to wrench.
I would have dialed back the wrench.
Okay. Yeah. I shouldn't have wrenched.
No.
Yeah. A lot of times when the ambulance would come, one of the first thing you would say is, I was wrenching.
I was trying to wrench my merengue.
And it was the same guys that had come two or three times to pick you up. They're like, stop wrenching.
Yeah, exactly.
Stick with the samba. How many times are we going to tell you this, Mr. Felber? We don't want to be back here in a week.
No, but what Tom is telling you.
And then the driver would say, it's a damnable calumny.
Yes.
Damnable. So don't wrench.
No dances are easier than others.
That is my personal opinion, because I believe that you can convey it.
I don't believe you.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
that's what he says.
He's got more experience in this.
I have the conviction of experience of teaching people.
Okay.
Now, I will tell you that, you know, every student will have a dance that comes with greater challenges than others because of any myriad number of little things in their history.
Probably because they keep wrenching.
They could be wrenching.
You don't wrench.
You don't want to wrench.
Yes. Yeah. I can't imagine.
A dance with a double backflip is as easy to learn as the Milwaukee walk.
Those two were not on my list.
Okay. Yeah. Well played.
A double backflip. All right, now let me ask you this. In the old sitcoms, there was always a scene.
There's an inevitable episode where somebody
has to learn to dance, and always the joke was that they keep stepping on their partners, on their teacher's feet.
Sure.
Is that a real thing?
Yes.
So you have your feet stepped on all the time.
Constantly.
And is it, they were always like in the I Love Lucy when she's teaching Richard Crenna to dance.
Wow.
It was like.
I was thinking about, I think there was a Three's Company that dealt with it as well.
Oh, no, I always think sidestep, sidestep.
Right.
Every few minutes, the big punchline was like, oh.
Yeah.
Is it that painful?
Well, I have developed quite a thick skin about it.
And
people feel badly whenever they either step on or get stepped on. And I remember one time I took one of my feet and slammed it down on the other one, like really hard.
Oh, no.
And the lady had that reaction. And I said, trust me, over these years, you can run over them at this point.
You were just demonstrating to her that it didn't matter that
I can handle it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm a dude. And have been wearing closed-toed, you know, effectively dress shoes my whole career. I really feel bad for my sisters in arms, my sisters in feet.
They're wearing all kinds of crazy footwear.
Open-toed shoes. Yeah. Yeah. The strap. Yeah.
And leaves of
and then people they have step to, on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus then, the heel, the high heels
thing is or,
yeah,
yeah,
brutal.
Not, yeah,
and,
brutal.
And do they go backwards more? They go backwards more, right?
Yeah. There's that wonderful quote.
About Ginger Rogers.
Ginger Rogers did everything that Fred Astaire did backwards and in heels.
Yes. And it's true. It's true. It's a very special skill to follow.
Where do most of your students come from? Is it a lot of people that are preparing for their wedding and they want to do that first dance?
Yeah. Well, it's not a ton, but yes, we're just right on in that season. So
love is in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But don't they start a certain amount of months ahead of time before the wedding?
Now this, Paula, I'm very glad you touched upon this, and I want your listeners to hear me when I say, please contact us 6 months or more before the wedding. But you'd be surprised. People do not do this.
Yeah. So instead they call you like the night before?
The studio record is a Wednesday phone call for a Saturday wedding.
Wow. And how did that turn out?
We helped them.
All right.
We helped them. We couldn't teach them the way we could teach somebody who's given themselves time
to do it.
But we made their first dance better than it would have been had they not called.
They just used a maypole.
Yeah. Right.
They just went around.
Well, we made him
the maypole with those little baby harnesses.
Right. We made him the maypole, and she just
circled him.
Wow. So they I wonder if they're still married.
I often think that. I wonder, because when I'm teaching, and I say this with all due respect to all the couples that I've worked with and all the students that I work with.
But you notice some shit while you're teaching, right? Like you're like, oh, fuck, this is not going to last. Guy just keeps stomping on her foot for one thing.
Yeah, and this late thing. You know that they were calling the Lamaze teacher when the wife went into labor.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
How should she breathe?
Yeah.
5, 6, 7, 8, breathe. You know, it does occur to me that it is, and my sister-in-law, Lisa.
We'll call her Lisa.
No. She's really Lisa.
Okay, yeah. So Lisa.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law, Lisa, she taught me that you should always play games with somebody that you're about to enter into a relationship or marry, like board games, card games, things
like
that.
Oh, I thought you meant like mess with their
head.
No,
no, no, not mess.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah. No, that's the closet door over there. No, that's the bathroom door.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I can see where that would endear
people to.
But yeah, I think that learning a project and doing something like ballroom dancing is communication.
Uh-huh.
And I have improved the communication skills through dance of many couple students. And there are many benefits of dancing, and increased better communication between partners is one of them.
Uh-huh.
So they learn each other's name after a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm. By the end.
Yeah.
Do you imagine that somewhere there's a newlywed couple maybe, or after a year or two and the money starts to get tight and the arguments are shit like, I told you to take three steps. Would that...
That may be your inclination. I'd be more hoping that they would do a rumba in the kitchen at the end of a long day to...
patch things up.
Yeah.
You got to increase
communication. Put a salve on the wound.
Now, it's my perception that dance, that social dancing is going through kind of an uptick in popularity right now because of all the television shows. Is that true?
Yes.
Is that what's really happening in your biz?
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge.
What do you think about Dancing with the Stars? You know, I used to want to be on Dancing with the Stars. But
you should do it.
Because my tap dance teacher told me people get hurt all the time. And didn't Christy Brinkley just...
She just spontaneously combusted or something.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
She burst into flames on the dance floor.
Well, that's the merengue.
I told you. Think that was the merengue?
She wrenched it.
She was wrenching.
Yeah.
She wrenched it.
She made a big mistake.
She probably wrenched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened.
I think didn't somebody drop her or something?
It is very stringent. And we taught Jenny Garth with Peter Scolari. This is before they broke up. There you go. There's... Oh, Jenny Garth, Beverly Hills 90210.
I never saw that.
Peter Scolari was in the Twilight films. Anyway, they were married. She was on the first season of the show, second season, early season.
So they had the communication and they still broke up?
They still broke up. So that is not an Arthur Murray success story.
Yeah.
But it is.
But you told it anyway.
Well, I would tell it anyway because after the show.
Did improve their communication. Maybe for years she'd been trying to tell him, I hate you.
Didn't know how to say it.
And finally.
She said it with a rumba.
Exactly. Yeah. Finally, the communication was there.
They might have rumbaed it out.
To get the fuck out of the house, she was saying. And he was not able to understand it.
Well, she paid us a great compliment that after the show, she did one of the early seasons. She learned more in just a few weeks with us than she did on the whole season. So you're right in the sense that it is a demanding show and it's brutal and you're working very, very hard. You're not learning to dance. You are learning to perform a dance.
Yeah.
It's a very big difference there.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
So,
yeah.
And that's the only downside of Dancing with the Stars being on TV, that it sets a kind of weird learning expectation, which does have to be dismantled when you come in to learn for social reasons.
That ostrich is going to break those strings. Yeah. You might want to get his neck out of that
hole.
Maybe
he wants to do a pick and
turn. Yeah. His head is in the hole.
Do you know, like a hiding place?
Yeah.
8 feet tall is the same height as Big Bird. That is literally a Big Bird.
Wow. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's like, not as popular.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not funding it. I'll tell you that.
A little scary.
Nope. I'm not donating to that thing.
Now, would you be able to teach Paula a foxtrot right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Wow.
You want to learn one?
I don't. It's an audio show.
You want to orally teach her? Tell her how to do a foxtrot.
Orally? Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So put your mouth over mine. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like some sort of rescue. I'm going to teach you to foxtrot.
Orally.
Okay.
Right. So if you were to do a foxtrot, one would start with one's feet together.
Feet together.
Right. And if you're following, the lady's following, let's say, and the gentleman's leading, the lady will begin with the right foot. And there's a classic joke that we always give. The lady begins with the right foot. Why? Because she's always right.
Oh,
yes. There's your dance instructor humor.
Use that with the wife.
She'll love that one. Right? Yeah. Sure, she's never heard it.
What's the rhythm of a foxtrot?
Can Haley give you some backup over here?
You got a standard, like a Sinatra standard or something like that?
She might.
Can't Help Falling in Love was a good one.
Oh, yeah. Can't Help Falling
in Love. Elvis?
Yeah, let's do that.
Is that a foxtrot song? I Can't Help Falling in Love?
You could do a foxtrot, too.
The way she was playing it earlier before you had your Trump driving issues.
Yeah. I couldn't get here because Trump was blocking traffic.
Brutal.
He was waving people around.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Yes.
He kept saying,
here we go.
Executive.
Okay. So Paul, if the timing of her playing that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Okay.
So you would step slow twice. So you would retreat from me twice, right foot, then
retreat,
left.
Yeah.
Right. So it would be retreat, retreat, side together, retreat, retreat, side together, retreat, retreat, side together. And that would be right foot retreat, left foot retreat, right foot side, left foot together.
Uh-huh. And so what that's I would like be doing is I'd be stepping forward with my left foot and then my right
that's
foot.
That's correct.
And then side together, left
to your
right,
left,
to right, yeah,
with
okay.
the right foot closing to the left.
That, yeah. Okay, that, you know, I've learned something really important
challenging
here.
That was a good teaching challenge.
I am not really an auditory learner.
Well, there you go.
No. I would much prefer have taught you that.
Every time you said retreat, retreat, I thought of the Methodist Church.
I'm sorry about
because
that.
Because we went on a lot of family retreats growing up Methodist. Yeah, retreat, retreat.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, thank you, Tom, for helping Paula figure out if she has the right moves to teach ballroom dance. Paula, having received this instruction on instruction, what have you learned about being a ballroom dance instructor, and could you do the job?
House band Haley Johnson, can I have some backup music to my summary of being a dance teacher? Nice. Anyone can be taught to dance, but of course, define dance. To be a dance teacher, you have to learn both the lead and the follow of every dance, and there's lots of them. Two Albee Patty special sauce, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun. The foxtrot gave birth to swing, and the placenta merengued out of the room. Teaching dance is teaching communication. Like this, don't wrench!
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof wherever you get your podcasts and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is Whoa! Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
McCavity!
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
So, Paula, where are you going to be appearing next?
Thanks for asking, Adam. On October 25th, I'm at the Rao Center for the Arts in Crystal Lake, Illinois. And on October 31st, Halloween, while you're out trick-or-treating, I'll be at the Diana Wortham Theater in Asheville, North Carolina. You can find all my tour dates at paulapoundstone.com.
Tom Antonellis is a ballroom dance instructor at the Arthur Murray Dance Studio. Thank you so much for being on our show, Tom.
Great job, Tom.
Everybody.
Thank you so much.
Retreat, coming up.
Retreat,
no. Coming up, Paula's Butterfinger
Rap. Captain Culpepper never enjoyed that dance.
What?
He doesn't like to retreat.
And he died in battle, didn't he, Mrs. Culpepper?
No, he did not. He died of triotoxism, Adam Felder.
Triotoxism, what is that?
Well, it's a poisoning by cheese or other dairy products.
Oh, so he had some bad sour cream?
No, it was the Gouda that got him.
I will never tire of that, Mrs. Culpepper. I'm sorry I have to keep bringing up that bad memory, but
it's a little bit painful, Miriam.
It's not Miriam, it's Adam.
Miriam, Velma.
No, not even remotely. Coming up, Paula's Butterfinger rap song is right there on iTunes. But we have some splaining to do. That's coming up right after this. According to climate scientists, we have 10 years and 14 weeks until the Earth begins to become uninhabitable. Thank you, Haley. Hey, Paula, a couple of weeks ago, we had the much-awaited premiere of your rap song lamenting the change in the Butterfinger recipe.
So exciting. We had newsman Frank Buckley out on the street. There
genuine
were crowds,
newsman. We didn't play that up enough. But
crowds
yeah.
out there thronging with interest and anticipation at hearing Not My Butterfinger. And,
yeah. and, we,
and then
we...
it turned out...
What? Well, here's the thing. We promised everybody on the subsequent show that by the time they heard the subsequent show, that song would be out on iTunes.
Well, there were two problems.
Right.
One is we inadvertently put out an incomplete version of the song
right.
on the podcast itself.
So if you're one of our first, I think something like 35,000 downloads on that show.
Yeah.
You might
want your trendsetters.
Yeah, your trendsetters. And thank you for being such devoted nobodies. But... you heard the wrong version of it. We've corrected that since. And so if you were to go back and re-download, you could hear the right thing. Or you could go to iTunes. Or could you? Now, here's the thing that happened.
Well, Bonnie assured us.
Bonnie assured us.
That it would be up on iTunes.
Captain Crinkle, Bonnie Burns, your manager.
Yeah, my manager, 26 years.
Yeah.
We said to her, should we not say that it's on iTunes yet because it's not on iTunes yet? And she said, no.
I'm going to handle it.
I'm going to take care of it. It's going to be on iTunes.
And if you remember, Paula... I expressed some skepticism.
Did you?
As to whether
it's
that would
like
really, really be a thing that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't happen.
What do you mean?
It wasn't up on iTunes when the show dropped. But there's a very good explanation, I'm sure. And so, against my better judgment, bringing to the microphone now, Captain Crinkle, Bonnie Burns, who I want to point out, Bonnie, what's in your right hand right now? What did you just grab as you sat down? Yes!
There he goes, Captain Crinkle!
Captain Crinkle's here.
With her signature sound.
Now, Bonnie, you're known for making a lot of extraneous noises. I want you to make some strenuous ones right now and tell us what the fuck happened with iTunes, Bonnie.
Okay, here's the deal.
Because you promised.
Yeah, and I didn't really think it was going to be so difficult to get the song up on iTunes. But...
Muskrat Love is on iTunes.
Okay, so when you threw down the gauntlet and said, I don't think you're going to be able to get the song up in a week, I was determined that I was going to prove you wrong.
Okay.
But I hit a few little...
Do you want me to read what you wrote about how this went wrong?
No, okay. I want to say what
went
wrong. Okay, so if you recall, when we were playing the song for real, just before we started the show, we queued up the song, and her single's supposed to be single explicit, meaning she says
explicit
fuck,
lyrics and-
with a skit.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But when we queued it up, what got sent to us was
so the tracks were
the
mislabeled.
Clean version. Right.
The tracks were mislabeled. And, but that
and
wasn't
when they
the
say
only
clean
problem.
Clean version. What they're talking about is when I say fuck, instead it goes fuck.
Right. Right. Yeah, right.
As though you're learning the word on the electric company for the first time.
Right, exactly.
Okay, and we even went through a little process here where, like, Jay looked on his phone, we'd sent the tracks to Anthony, clearly they were mislabeled. So we decided...
The tracks were mislabeled.
Okay, let me finish. Okay.
No.
So
no,
we decided we were going to sit here while we were taping the show, we'd listen to the clean version, unbeknownst to the listeners at home, and then we would put in the explicit... mastered version
after the fact.
This is and that's what people would hear when they heard the show. That was the plan.
But we covered that already. We're asking about iTunes.
No, I'm getting there.
Okay. But slowly. I'm taking the scenic route. No. What the fuck happened with iTunes, Bonnie?
I'm in Ken Lezebnik's America. Okay. So now, the guy who mixed the show.
The guy who mixed the show.
You know, and you mentioned on the show that we had all these different
tracks. Don't have enough buses for the number of people you're throwing under.
I'm just explaining that we said there were all these different tracks, right?
Yeah, there were all these different tracks.
There was ones with the skit, the acapella, blah, blah, blah. The guy that mixed this song sent over 8 tracks, but actually it was more like 16 tracks because there's the wave.
I'm going to skip ahead.
I have to figure.
You don't have to.
Yeah. No,
this
I
isn't
do.
Isn't your choice, Bonnie. No. Shut up. This is
no,
not.
Let me just finish. I want to hear what she has to say.
Our listeners don't.
No. I have to get to it. Okay.
Is there a banana in this? Because usually a lot of good stories turn on a banana.
Okay.
You promised me succinctness.
He sent over 16 tracks, basically.
He sent over 16 tracks.
That were labeled different things. Okay?
They were labeled different things.
I started listening to them.
But you found the right one.
No, that's my point. That's what I'm getting to.
She's making a point.
I'm making a point. And frankly, here's the point.
Okay.
We haven't even gotten to the part where it's misedited yet.
I'm getting there. Okay. So I'd say, like, explicit, no skit. And I listened to it, and it would be clean. With a skit.
Oh, fuck.
Okay,
that's
it was
like,
all mislabeled.
Okay. Adam, let me help you understand this. It's like it's like if you tore open a bag of double stuff Oreos.
No, I understand mislabeled. I don't understand why we have to label the mislabeling.
Because she's explaining.
Okay.
She's making a point.
It's the point. What we needed was...
I totally relate to what
single,
she's saying.
Like, say it said...
I'm on the edge of my seat right now.
Single, explicit, with skit. Okay?
Nobody cares.
That's what we needed. Walton's episodes that weren't this dramatic.
We needed to put up on iTunes single, mastered, explicit,
I can't walk,
skit.
John Boy. I can't walk.
You literally called me before the show to tell me you had a succinct explanation for this.
But I'm telling you,
she literally
that's
did that.
What we needed.
Right? No, she's trimmed it down since she told it to me. I have to confess, Trump wasn't in town. I was just listening to her explanation. It took me 3 hours to get here.
There were things labeled that.
Yeah.
But that's not what was on the track.
Okay.
We get that. Oh, my fucking God.
Okay. So it's mislabeled.
Okay.
Right?
Wait, what? Mislabeled, you say?
Yeah. Let me help you understand. It's like if you got... A can of Van de Kamp's beans,
right? But inside the
baked
can,
beans, right? And now you, and now you take the lid off, and it's fucking chickpeas. Do you see what I'm saying? You thought it was baked beans, but it's garbanzo beans. Do you see? So they were the tracks. There were 16 tracks. Is that right?
We haven't even got.
I want to get to this.
Okay, I'm getting there.
You're not.
Right. I am. Okay.
I want to ask you a question. Okay. No. You
because
have to
you're
stop.
Not understanding. There were 16 tracks, and they were mislabeled.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
Okay, but no. Stop talking. Stop talking. I get to ask you a question, and then you can answer my question.
Oh my God!
After you sorted out the labeling and got the track correct when it was re-edited and correctly labeled, then there was no problem getting it on iTunes, right?
No, because this is, oh my God.
She's just denying the premise of the question. There is no way to tell this story without boring you about how I got the track
this
fixed.
Is like
no,
the,
you haven't let me finish.
No, each questioner only gets 5 minutes.
Good God, that's your time,
let me
Ms.
Just
Burns.
Finish. Okay,
this is like the Lewinowski hearings.
My point being, how much time got eaten up? Because I had to go through all those tracks.
So she had to listen to each track.
Why?
They were mislabeled.
Really? She could have just told me that.
Yeah. No, she's not being clear.
Even the dog is agitated now.
Don't wrench.
You had to listen to see if she said fuck or not. in each one of those
versions.
Can I ask you something? When you were listening, did you ever doze off? And then you were like, oh, fuck, now I don't know if she said fuck.
Wait. Now, the point is, he didn't have that. He didn't have the track we needed.
I could have said the tracks were mislabeled and the correct one wasn't even there, so we had to edit it correctly again.
That's okay, but where's the banana in that story?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now I go to the mastering house.
She goes to the mastering house.
And it turns out, they go, here, we'll send you all the tracks we have.
So they're going to send all the tracks they have to her.
I don't think you understand how little I want to hear the whole story. And how little our listeners care about this.
What are you kidding me? They care about this.
The story is,
she went to the mastering house, and they said they're going to send it to her.
Yeah, but
everything they had.
But her request for mastering house, her Google search led her to an S&M place.
No.
5 minutes later, she finds herself hogtied and whipped as she's trying to.
No, but she did meet a furry guy.
This is eating up a lot of the time.
It's taking a lot of the time.
Put the song up on
iTunes. As long
as
it's taking you to tell the story, because then that's a fucking long time.
Okay, anyway, the mastering house doesn't even have 8 tracks. They don't have 12 tracks. Who knows where they got those? And they have totally different names.
They have different names. So theirs were named by George Foreman. So everyone
was named
George.
All the tracks were named George.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, long story short, because this is important.
She's making a long story short.
I'm going to make it short.
That ship has sailed around the world and come back already.
I'm going to make it short. No,
long story
be slightly extended.
This is the worst.
No, I'm going to make it shorter.
Okay.
Just crinkle something. I'm going to crinkle something. Here we go.
Okay, let me just finish. Okay.
Oh, my. Yes. I had no idea you went through all this.
Okay. Now it feels like you have the
right. Oh, my God.
That part, okay. Nobody has the right track, so we go to the mixer and we say, here's what you got to do. Single, explicit, with a skit, okay?
You know,
and we get
swing, merengue.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay, tons of time taken up, right?
A lot of time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't even imagine.
We get that.
So there's shit that's not getting
done.
We're
begging for favors, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Anthony agrees to come in at the last minute and get it
and
in
he
the
was
show.
Bitter. Anthony was very upset about this.
Oh, my God. He really
no,
was
he was very
up.
Upset about
it
this,
worse
which
than
is
the
why
ostrich.
He brought that fucking ostrich.
Yeah, I agree.
That thing drilled a hole in my hand.
He was curt, too.
Yeah, was he curt?
It's 5 minutes since you said
just
the point of the story is.
I'm giving you the rest of the story.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
No,
okay, we get the song. Okay, now it's like Friday.
Now it's Friday.
And the show's supposed to go up.
It's almost Friday now.
Monday, and I'm close to making my... I figure, okay, now I can get it up on iTunes, and I'll still have made my thing.
Exactly. Easy peasy.
And I can
she's not
Adam's
even
wrong.
To the part of the story where she's putting it up on iTunes, which is what we asked her about.
Wait. That was the actual question.
I've been my manager for 26
years.
26 years.
In all that time, she's told you 2 stories.
Okay,
she's not even done with the second one yet.
No, okay. That's why I'm a goddamn household name.
My point is that this was taking longer than I thought. Okay.
So that's your point.
Here's the next thing.
Okay, all right.
Jay,
our producer,
who did the
song, fantastic.
Hooks
Jay Deal
me up with this great guy Andre, who actually was so great. So that we booked him on the show for next week.
Right, and this is just a guy that she dated. This has nothing to do with this story at all.
Great guy.
And he's
Jay knew a guy
book.
That he thought was good for Bonnie.
He's written a book. Called You Made the Single, Now What?
Right.
Now what's next?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
He was supposed to talk me through the steps of what to do to get the song up on iTunes.
Oh,
was he able? Okay. Was he able to do that, or did you tell him the story about the tracks?
You know what, Bonnie? I got to say, I love that you help edit our show because I wouldn't wish this on anybody, and you deserve it. Poor Anthony. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. It turned out that he was in Baku Abidjan, something like that.
He was far away.
Yeah. He was. Was
it, no, what,
I don't
Abidjan,
wanna,
what's the name of that town? That's country.
Azerbaijani.
Azerbaijani. Yeah, Azerbaijan. That's where he was. Yeah.
Well, now you're going to say this is incidental to the story.
It's
not.
It is. What, are you kidding me? Azerbaijani is key to the story. It's what the whole thing turns on.
No, okay.
Yeah, because I guess it is a little bit incidental.
No, it's not. It's not at all. Well,
Let's not have a roundtable discussion about how incidental this is.
Hold on a minute. Let me show you here on this map.
Oh, you're crinkling
where
that map.
Azerbaijani is, because Bajani. I think you're going to understand the importance of that in this story.
It's not, because we live in a world of global communication.
Okay. No, it's not. Okay, it's here, yeah, according to my map, but here on Trump's map.
Okay.
There's a bigger circle around
it. Here, with a Sharpie.
Here on Trump's map, it's right beside Alabama.
Oh, for God's sakes, Paula, she's just getting to the point.
Okay, sorry.
Well, my point was going to be
26 years we've worked together.
Unbelievable.
And I feel good.
My point was going to be how much time this was taking.
Yeah, it was taking a lot of time.
But it's Friday, and it's not hard to post something on iTunes unless you didn't know certain details.
He gave me... Okay, he was far away.
He was far away.
Set up this
You're trying
call.
Not to get to the part where you don't know how to post something on iTunes.
No, she never knew how to post something on iTunes.
Okay, he gave me three things to do.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, one of them was government copyright, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
One was run in place.
That's what we've been doing for the last 20 minutes.
You know, when was do the SL, the PP, and all this stuff that was
SL
like...
The SL and the PP.
Don't ask her. Don't you dare ask her, Paula. Swear. Don't. I see that question on your lips. Don't you dare.
Can't help wondering.
No.
No, it was fill what out. The SL, the PP, and whatever.
Oh,
it was.
Fill out.
Okay. So first I had to figure out what that was.
First you figure out, who fill out was.
Okay. My point Philip in all this out. Is how time consuming.
Like when you first guaranteed me you'd get it up, you didn't realize that posting a song to iTunes involves doing things.
No, but there was all this other stuff.
There was stuff as well.
All that time.
Things you could have handled.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now part of it, this is an incidental little part to the story. Okay.
Yeah, just a little.
Which is
you could that omit we hooked this.
It's just a little side story. She also found a cousin on 23andMe.
Jay, who I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
But he was going to be on this conference call to Abishjani.
But then he couldn't be on the conference
and
call.
And it took forever to hook it up because the, whatever his name, Andre
Jay's never coming back. The guy's an award-winning songwriter and hip-hop producer.
And apparently has stopped returning Bonnie's calls.
Yeah,
I wonder why.
Yeah, he has.
You think?
No, he has.
Has Bonnie been your manager for long, Paula?
26 years.
You don't say.
26
Wait, anyway,
years.
I question your choices.
We're trying to get hooked up with him far away.
Yeah.
And then we're getting close, and Jay texts and goes, I have an artist who's on stage. I'll hook up with you guys in 20 minutes. It was a long process. Okay, anyway.
So it was a very long process is what I'm hearing.
I wish the listeners could hear my facial expression right now.
Okay.
He's making face number three on our Facebook page.
Okay, now.
He's making Rod Rosenstein a hostage face right now.
Please, okay. Somebody.
Andre had sent me this list that said, you know,
you have to
get
do
the
these
thing copyrighted.
Right.
Fill out the PP, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
which
fill
I did.
Out the PP on
and
the
then
SL.
There's this thing called TuneCore.
TuneCore?
Right.
Now we're talking.
Right.
What the fuck is TuneCore?
Song up.
Yeah, so you put your song
on
up
iTunes.
At the time of the artwork, and you're,
which
yeah,
is
you're,
when
you're good to go.
TuneCore.
I realize
it's an army
you need
of
artwork.
Of course you need artwork.
Well, okay, but
we
never
thought about
never
needing
thought
about artwork
that before.
So have you
she
never
grabbed
used iTunes
a crayon.
Before?
No, I just
and
I was scribbled
on her computer screen. That's
right.
Another problem we're having.
No, but it was just not. I was thinking about all these other things.
I want to tell you, it's a very difficult process. And to date, only 300 million songs have managed to find their way onto iTunes.
But I think there was
a lot of them
more...
get stuck at TuneCore.
I think it was TuneCore. A little more prep time.
TuneCore,
I mean, they're like first graders who release singles.
Okay, but whatever. Maybe they had more prep time than I did.
Yeah,
you had 2 weeks.
I did not have 2 weeks. I had 1 week.
There could be first graders who've released singles and put them on iTunes, but what they didn't have is mixed up tracks. Let's go back to the beginning.
No, we are not going back to the beginning.
But she's right. That took up a huge amount of time.
Exactly. The tracks were mixed up.
I'm almost done. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I am. Okay, so now.
She had to have it posted by Monday morning and late Sunday night.
And
she decided
about the tune or what?
Well, to make another homemade Butterfinger recipe.
Oh, that's right. Wasn't that supposed to be this week?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
And so now she's got sticky shit on her fingers.
Yeah, she ate
no
the ingredients
artwork.
Again.
Yeah, okay.
So now.
Now.
A tune core.
We have a guy
my
at the
brother
last
served
minute.
In the tune core.
We have a guy at the last minute do... do a photo render, do a design for us.
Yeah, we get a guy to do a design
for us.
Okay,
so long story short, it's up on iTunes now.
No.
Wait, it's still not up?
No, because...
Will it be up by the time people hear this episode?
No, just wait a minute.
No. Just a yes or no.
No. I'm not going there.
No.
Paula, your manager, in reference to whether your single will ever be up on iTunes, says, I'm not going there.
Here's the thing.
If you
Here's
would
the thing. This is a very sad ending to this story.
We're taking up an hour and a half.
We've been together for 26 years, and now she's been hired by Apple to help people post things on iTunes.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now. Yeah. I do read when you're posting.
She reads. I've seen her do it.
Oh yeah. I've seen. That usually when we're recording.
Yeah.
Now it's Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I still have a shot at getting this up by the time we
This is all
got,
about you
though.
Feeling like
no,
like
that I'm going to win.
You're mad that
win.
I was right that you weren't going to
no,
do
wait.
It.
No, wait. So it's Saturday night.
You may be onto something there.
Okay. It's Saturday night.
Right.
It's like 11:30. I've been working on this all week
Are
long.
Are you trying to fuck up our
I'm
show right now? Honestly.
I'm getting there. And, okay. So I'm...
Yeah. It's a lot of. This is shaving her hundreds of dollars in therapy.
And they have an opportunity for you to do ringtones.
They have.
No, I'm.
What in God's name are you doing?
Okay, here's the point.
Can you just say goodbye and go over there?
No.
Honestly. I feel like this is a hostage situation at this point. If you start talking about fucking ringtones, so
no,
help me, I will throttle you.
She did send me an email about the ringtones. Did you notice I didn't get back to you on that email?
I hope our listeners, if there's any left, understand how awful this is.
Here's the point.
Oh, my God.
Here's the point.
You know, we have two boys, Benjamin Applegate and Henry Lucevonic, and they have to get to bed now. They're like 10 years old.
They started listening this morning.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she did send me an email about the ringtones.
Right.
And I couldn't make heads or tails of what you wrote.
No, because it says you can do ringtones, and I'm thinking, well, that'd be fun. But that'd be in 30 seconds.
Now, when you're completely failing at a task... Taking a side trip because, that would be fun is the last thing I would advise you to do.
It's almost the end of the story. So
that's why. I'll tell you something.
I'm doing like visual comedy takes at this point. I really did just take off my glasses and turn to Paula.
It took me 3 hours to get here tonight because Trump kept blocking the 405 and waving people around. And that's why I took an extra half an hour to go to P.F. Chang's.
Right.
Very similar to what my manager,
exactly
Bonnie. We've been together for 26
that's
years.
That's a long time, Paula.
Yeah, and now, my problem is Apple's problem.
Okay, so...
You're welcome.
I'll pick a couple of ringtones, put them up there, ask her, hey, what do you think of these things? I'm timing the things.
This has to end now, Bonnie.
No, I'm giving you... And that is when I realized that the guy who sent the song over and we'd put in the show left out the middle skit. And what we've had on the air...
So it was not labeled correctly, is that right?
No, he labeled it correctly, but he didn't put the
So the whole labeling thing was never true?
What?
So now we have... No. I'm moving this along.
It gets
unilaterally.
Worse.
No, it doesn't. Here's what happens.
Because I had just
Here's
posted
what
it as on iTunes.
Oh, so you posted the wrong one
the
on
wrong
iTunes.
Song.
Okay, yeah. That's great. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to move forward right now.
Yeah, I think we
because
should.
What we're going to do is we're going to give our listeners right now a break from Bonnie Burns. And that break from Bonnie Burns is going to be in the form of the corrected... and perfect version of your single, Not My Butterfinger.
Which is available on iTunes.
Which is available on iTunes, possibly now. Play it, Anthony.
Oh, my God.
Next in line.
Hey, I see that you have the fun-sized Butterfingers in the bag, but do you have the medium-sized ones?
We got a new box right here.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
All right, cool. What do I owe you?
That's 275.
All right.
Out of five.
Anyone
of all the things
that
need to change, there are many. In the Butterfinger recipe, there weren't any.
opportunity? That's lunacy. Anyone can see. Can't they address that deep regret instead of just fucking with my chocolate? Some things need to change. Some things need to change. But not my Butterfingers. But not my Butterfingers. Some things need to change. Some things need to change. But not my Butterfingers. But not my Butterfingers.
What the fuck is this?
Sorry?
What's wrong with this? What's the expiration date on this?
Ma'am, those came in this morning.
Why, there's something wrong with them. Oh my God. New improved recipe.
I'm sorry?
I'll miss a crispity, crunchity fun size, but what are you thinking? Wouldn't it have been wise? Consider my sister, consider my brother. Stop the gun violence, stop shooting one another. Cruelty to the transgender. I don't get it. It's such a mind bender. That needs a correction, but Butterfingers don't need a new direction. Change our type of fuel. Make a powerful public school. And if we don't let love rule, we're done.
We're done.
Some things need to change. Some things need to change. But not my Butterfingers. But not my Butterfingers. But not my Butterfingers. But not my Butterfingers.
Oh, please. It's 2019.
But not my Butterfingers. Skip the meat and eat some greens. Put down your screens. I'd like to bring back the telephone booth. We deserve the truth.
We deserve the truth.
We deserve the truth.
We deserve the truth.
Stop worrying about how much peanut butter. At the top, we've got a gold-plated nutter. We deserve the truth.
We deserve the truth.
Some things need to change. Some things need to change. But not my Butterfingers. But not my Butterfingers. Some things need to change. Some things need to change. But not my Butterfingers.
Up on pre-recorded Butterfingers.
But not my Butterfingers.
Keep it sweet, man. You know, we try to get better, not bitter. I'll take my... Let's go.
I feel all the hope going through my body.
Well, I'm sorry about that, ma'am. Can I help you with anything else?
Can I get my money back?
Ma'am, you already bit it.
Why didn't she put it back on the shelf?
Next in line,
Butterfingers.
Wow.
Boy.
Just, it's better that way.
It's much better when you have the complete version.
Yeah, it is. It is so much better. And I'm sorry that Bonnie Burns had to leave, but that was a... Oh, yeah.
She's back!
But I think we're done talking about that song. Bonnie, well, hopefully by the time people are listening to this, there will be, I'd say there's probably like a 110% chance that this will be available on iTunes by the time we hear this one.
Now
she's not talking.
I want to thank Bonnie Burns and Adam Felber and Anthony Alfaro for their hard work, as well as Jay Deal and Anya V. And
who is that
Grunman,
guy?
Grunman Mastering.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who else. But
by the way.
A lot of people were.
We had the name wrong at the studio, too. It's not Grunderman. It's Grunman.
I think we're safe in saying that there was nothing right about this. Anyway, even
except
the
except for the song. The song's
song
fantastic.
The final product of the song is great. And now
it's sweeping the nation.
If you have a theme song entry for us, by the way, because this isn't necessarily our theme song. This is about Butterfingers. Or a short description of the show, you may email us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. You could win a bar of hotel soap autographed by Paula Poundstone.
You could win a fresh bar of hotel soap.
Well, yeah, but the autograph part is kind of what people are interested in.
Oh, I don't think so. It's the fresh bar of hotel soap.
It's a very small bar of soap. It's hotel soap.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
All right. We'll be back after this.
On this day in unremarkable history, Charles Darwin said, "My dear Emma, perhaps I have not been as attentive to you as you desire, but I am evolving."
Going into a Bullseye interview, I know that it's somebody who does amazing work, but it's an actual conversation, and you know, sometimes it gets real.
No, but my mother, I remember when I got, this is going to become a therapy session very quickly.
Does that make sense? I feel like I'm in therapy.
That was a great interview.
Bullseye. Creators you know, creators you need to know. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
Well, Alexis, we got big news.
Uh-oh.
Season one, done.
It's over.
Season two, coming at you hot.
3 years after.
Three and a half.
Technically right. Almost 4 years.
All right.
And now, listen, here at Can I Pet Your Dog, the Spanish Shade Podcast, our seasons run for 3.5 years. And then in season two, we come at you with new, hot co-hosts. Named you.
Hi, I'm Alexis.
And we also have
field trip.
Dog tech.
Yeah. Dog news.
Dog news.
Celebrity guests.
Oh, big shots.
We'll not let them talk about their resume.
Nope. Only the dogs.
Only the dogs. I mean, if ever you were going to get into Can I Pet Your Dog?
Now's the time.
Get in here.
Every Tuesday.
At MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back, all you nobodies. Paula, wow, I feel like we're kind of done with this show, but I want to know.
We're not, Adam.
Do you have any messages for the fans out there who
I do.
Listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstuff?
I do. Adam, you and I are two of the luckiest performers in the world.
Not feeling that way tonight.
Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone fans. Nobodies, they call themselves, are the very best fans there are.
They are.
They're funny, which I know from our Facebook page, and they're dedicated. The FBI and the CIA are desperate to duplicate our worldwide manhunt model.
Right, they're not.
Here's the rub, though. We have to gather more listeners in order to keep making the podcast. And the best way to do it is by word of mouth.
All of these things are true.
Many of our fans aren't comfortable sharing with their friends and loved ones.
We have no evidence of that.
That they are Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone listeners.
Yeah.
So I have written, Adam, some simple sample dialogue to connect those wires.
As long as it's simple, I'm game. Go ahead and show me what a listener might do.
Try this.
Okay.
Listener's friend. Thanks for letting me come to your rehearsal of the first all-cap production of Fiddler on the Roof.
Holy fuck, this is
amazing. Listener, thanks. Sure, I'm glad you could be here. Okay, cats and kittens, what's taking so long? I want my Zeidel, Hoddle, and Chava on stage now. Remember, cats, this is the scene where you realize you are not in charge of your future. Yenta chooses your mate, and it's not necessarily going to be your dream feline. And it's not just one night in the alley with a questionable Tom. It's for life.
Meow, 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 meow,
meow. I hate you.
Listener's friend. I can hardly believe what I'm seeing. My cat just sleeps, eats, poops, and vomits. How did you even get the idea to do this? Listener, well, I've never really known how to tell you this, but I listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the only comedy podcast that Bryan Cranston has almost been on. Listener's friend, didn't something happen to her left nipple?
Really?
Listener, both left and right, pierced by cats. Thank you, girls. That was great. Hey, everybody, let me remind any that haven't already, stop by the groomer and get those hind claws trimmed, please. Okay, next, let's have Golda and Tevye out here. Okay, we're in the kitchen. This is arguably the most romantic scene in the entire play. They realize not only have they had sex and created a family, they also love each other. Go! Meow, 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 meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow! Listener, wait a minute. What's that clicking sound?
Really?
Golda, are those your hind claws? Take a break, please, and get those trimmed. Listener's friend, so Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone gave you the idea and the skills to create an entire cat production of Fiddler on the Roof?
I think my heart has stopped beating at this point.
Well...
Actual coronary arrest.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Let's have Hoddle and Tevye at the cart stop. Tevye, you may never see Hoddle again. She's going to be with her activist husband. It's a new world and you don't understand it. Go.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So I was saying, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, didn't give me the idea or teach me how to execute it. I just get so much laughter from listening to the podcast. I feel creative and full of possibility. You know, Adam Felber's on every show.
Oh, this is my last one.
Listener's friend. Wow. I'm glad you told me. I'll have to listen, too. Listener. All right, let's stay focused. We're not all on break. Wow, wow. I need my dancers with hats and bottles on their head. Wow. Hurry up. Wow. This needs a lot of work. And if this is cat pee on my script, I'm going to recast the entire show with dogs.
And as a flourish, so Bonnie this grabbed your script and
crinkled it.
Crinkled it.
So this is a way, Adam, as you see, the listener's friend realizes that she, too, could get, full of creativity and a feeling of possibility.
On a normal night here at the show, Paula, I might at this point out that your simple sample dialogue involves a situation so improbable none of our listeners are going to find themselves using this dialogue in any meaningful way.
Well, the ones who make Fiddler on the Roof with Cats certainly will.
That subset of our listeners, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that, in some ways, that will be very useful when they... I thought we were going to do Sunrise Sunset. We never did. All right, nobodies. Remember, our email address is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can find my remarkably soft tri-polyblend t-shirt with the self-portrait on the left breast and the memorable quote on the back at paulapoundstone.com. It's remarkably soft, Adam, because it's made from a tri-poly blend.
But in your case, yours has two little spots of blood.
It is a healing shirt, Adam.
All right. That's our show and our longest ever to boot. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber, produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Anthony Alfaro. Special thanks to tonight's incredibly patient and skilled house band, Haley Johnson.
Haley was great.
Yes, and thanks again to our guest, Tom Antonellis.
Dance teacher extraordinaire.
Absolutely. He was dancing with you during the re-premiere of your single there.
It was beautiful.
Which is definitely on iTunes now. Security provided by Tyler Burke. Transcription services provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.